I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anelio, and you're listening to the Functional Nerds. This is episode number 211. And John, do you know what the number 211 means in ancient mythology?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, never mind.
No. Yeah, I'm a bummer. That is Patrick Hester. He is an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. He has won the Hugo twice. And you can check out his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anelio. I'm a songwriter and a composer. And you can follow me on Twitter at John Anelio, and you can check out my website, johnanelio.com. And this week, back by popular demand, another Just the Two of Us episode. Popular demand.
Well, people enjoy it.
No, it's true. I think people do, and I think doing them like this once in a while, I think it's a good thing. So I enjoy doing them. One of the reasons Patrick and I got – I mean, I shouldn't speak for Patrick, but one of the reasons why I got into podcasting is – I like talking about this stuff. I like, you know, kind of sharing my thoughts with people, and doing it just the two of us sometimes is nice because we get a little more time to talk and to express our thoughts. And I like kind of catching up with Patrick in this way because, you know, when we have a guest, we're pretty focused on the guest. And even though we talk a lot during those shows too, it's kind of nice for both of us to be able to kind of catch up with each other and share a little deeper within, you know, what's going on in our own heads. So it's nice to do these just the two of us ones. So I'm happy to do it. And here we are again. So Patrick, what's going on with you?
I'm here.
You're here. You're there. You're everywhere.
Super busy as usual. At work right now, we're preparing for a major event that we have internally. That is, it's like our company meeting. Mm-hmm. And people fly in from all over the world to come to this thing, and it's a big deal, and there's lots of work going into it, and that's kind of eating up my time at work. And mom is still recovering, so you know, we've got that funness going. She did have a bone density test, and they said okay. So she's not like losing bone density by not being on her feet. Other than that, you know, usual stuff, man.
Cool. You know, I wanted to share something that kind of piggybacks a little bit on our last Just the Two of Us episode. And I think I'm kind of enjoying it because I suspect there might be some people out there who maybe follow me on Twitter or Facebook or something who might think I'm kind of losing my mind a little bit. And I'm kind of enjoying that. Last time I talked a little bit about the Zen stuff that I was reading, and I thanked Patrick for, you know, doing the podcast with me. And I'm thinking like, people, oh man, John Anelio's losing it, man. He is like,
you talking about all the little quotes that you're putting out now?
Yeah. Let's talk about all that kind of stuff. Because I do it because, you know, I have that buffer thing, and I read a lot of this stuff in the morning, and then I just sort of stuff that I find interesting, I just sort of throw it out there because I don't, you know, more to remind myself than anything else. But basically when it goes onto Facebook, I know it's just a call for snarky comments from people, you know, which is fine, which is cool. That's part of it though. I think that's really kind of the fun part of it. But what I did want to mention was you and I last time talked about how we were kind of backing away from the social media. Like, we're still on it, we still use it and all that, but maybe we're not as active as we once were because there's a lot of, you know, it could be, it's not inherently negative, but depending on how you use it, you can end up having a negative experience. And I think both of us were expressing that last time.
I can give you an example.
Sure.
John DiNardo, our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to Skype with me one night, and we do this occasionally. We'll talk about SF Signal and contributors or you know, where we are and what he's got coming down the pipe and what podcast am I doing. And, you know, we'll just kind of have it's almost like a meeting just to talk about how things are going and what's going on and what we've got.
State of the Union.
Yeah. And, but we'll also, you know, we'll go into, you know, how's life treating you, what's going on, you know, how's work and this and that. And this was a day when I was having a particularly difficult day. Mm-hmm. I was not in a great mood. just things were not going well. And so we have this Skype, and by the end of the Skype, he's like, man, I'm all depressed now. I was singing when we started, and now I'm all depressed. You just totally brought me down. And there are moments now in social media that feel very much like that. It's like I'll jump onto Twitter, and I'm in a really good mood, and I start reading all the negative stuff that people are putting out there, and it just starts to bring me really, really down. Mm-hmm. And with everything I'm dealing with right now, I don't need that. I don't need one more thing bringing me down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I'm backing off.
Yeah, well, I actually, you know, I decided to do this, and I told my wife, and she was like, wow, that is something. So what I did, and I kind of did it in steps, but I'm still using Facebook and Twitter and all that, but I actually deleted Facebook from my phone, I deleted Twitter from my phone, and I deleted my email from my phone. Now on the iPhone, because I used the Gmail app, so I deleted the Gmail app. I know I could still get it through the regular mail app, but because you can't delete the mail app, but you can unhook your email from it. And I did this because I was just so I developed the habit of just checking those three things constantly. Just constantly. Just, you know, if I'd have 5 minutes, I would go Twitter, Facebook, email, Twitter, Facebook, email. I would just check them all. And I'm assuming that's not so uncommon. And I just realized it was there's so many things that I'd rather be spending my time doing. At the end of the day, I don't really – like how much I'm on social media isn't really very important. And so what I decided to do is like, well, when I need to answer email or when I want to check my replies or whatever on Facebook or Twitter, because as I've said a million times, I use that buffer. So I do – tweet and Facebook, but it's timed, it's scheduled so that I can interact, because I do want to interact with people, but I don't want to be on it all day. But what I do is just at either at lunchtime or maybe another time of day, I will go on it for literally 10 minutes maybe, and I'll plow through email, and I'll like look through my Twitter stuff, my Facebook stuff, and I do it all, and then I'm done, and I'm focused on it for that 10 or 15 minutes, and then the rest of the day I don't think about it. Because you mentioned this last time about how there are people, and I am one of those people, or I was one of those people, that first thing in the morning, pick up your phone, check your email.
Yep.
You know, last thing at night. And I totally did that. And I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. Because even if it's not necessarily negative, it's, you know, you check for, because you're not going to answer an email while you're still half asleep, wake. You're just going to see it. And all of a sudden, it may not even be anything that negative or important, but now all of a sudden in your head, you're like, oh, I got to make sure that I email that guy later because that really needs a response. So I need to get to that. And it's like, why have it in your head? Like, why distract yourself? Why put that sort of pressure on yourself? Why not just sit down at lunchtime or whenever with a clear head and be like, oh, here's an email from this person. All right, let me get right back to them right now. And that's it. And then it's only in your head for the 5 minutes that you're writing the response, and then it's done. And it's not just sort of just in the back of your mind. So, you know, I could speak for myself, and I imagine you're the same way, and I imagine a lot of our listeners are like this. We all have day jobs, and many of us do our creative things, and many of us have families that we're taking care of and all that kind of jazz. So our creative time is minimal to begin with, or can be. And when I have that time, I want to do it doing creative things or reading or something a little more enriching than just, you know, I explained it to my wife as like, it's sort of the hamster or the gerbil or the whatever in the cage, you know, pushing for the pellet. It's like, did someone like what I posted? You know, we want that like little positive something. And it's like, we don't need that. And it's kind of causing more harm than good. Or that's the way I felt about it. So yeah. So I deleted all those things, and I deleted Facebook first, and then I deleted Twitter about a week later. And then I just deleted my email a couple days ago. And I'm really enjoying not having it as a distraction. Well, and it's funny because, it's working for me.
For me, I mean, the backing off isn't quite necessarily for the same thing. I mean, the negativity is what's getting to me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of of this person said this, this person said that. There's, I mean, it just gets so depressing after a while. And on top of that, I live in Colorado, and Colorado really is we're a purple state.
Okay.
We can go blue, we can go red.
Mm-hmm.
We get an incredible amount of political ads.
Right.
Back to back to back to back to back to back to back. To the point where now Facebook is feeding political ads. Twitter is feeding political ads. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious because we talked last week about my brother wanting to watch a music video. And so I pulled up this music video of the Old Crow Medicine Show doing Wagon Wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't watch the video until we watched an anti-Cory Gardner political ad.
Mm-hmm.
There was no skip. You had to watch the goddamn thing.
Right.
And the way it's going right now is I have two TVs in my house that have been on for at least 18 hours a day for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother sits in front of one and my brother sits in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
I can't escape television anymore. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the point where I don't watch a lot of live TV, and I haven't for years. I've always done DVR or streaming or something like that. Because it's more along the lines of, oh, hey, I've got a little bit of time. You know, I've got everything done. There's a new episode of something. You know, maybe I'll watch that on my DVR. So, for example, I've been catching up a little bit on Defiance, which is, you know, their whole season is already over.
Right.
But I've got them all in DVR, so I've been watching a few of them here and there. But I can't escape TV. And the way it goes right now is there's an anti-Cory Gardner commercial, and then there's a pro Cory Gardner commercial, and then there's an anti Mark Udall commercial, and then there's a pro Mark Udall commercial, and then there is a pro Romanoff commercial, and then an anti Romanoff commercial, and then it just keeps going over and over and over and over and over and over, and then the show starts again, and then it cycles up, you know, 10 minutes later when the next commercial break comes on, and they just go through the same damn commercials over and over and over again. So having all of that is really annoying me too. I mean, we're just getting inundated on it, and I'm already jaded and cynical when it comes to politics. Some people may, if they're clever enough, or maybe I'm not as subtle as I think I am, they may have picked up over the years that I'm at the point where I don't like politicians at all.
Yeah.
And I'm jaded about the whole system. You know, you've got two very rich people who have different little letters next to their names, who are exactly the same, who are spewing how the other person hates you and they don't want anything to do, and they're not going to help you, and I'm the one that's going to help you, and they're both living in their million-dollar homes, and, you know, they're career politicians, and this is what they do. They really don't give a shit about you. I'm sorry. They don't. They just want your vote. And as soon as they get your vote, they don't care about you anymore. And that's kind of how I feel about politics. And so to get completely inundated on this every single damn day, 4 months on end, I'm ready for my tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why we don't, you know,
we don't know.
Long time listeners of the podcast may or may not know this, because I don't know how much this ever gets on air. But like, one of the things that we say before we get started to our guest is that, you know, unless it is directly related to what your book is about, like within your book's world, we don't want to talk about politics, we don't want to talk about religion, and then we don't want to talk about barbecue either. And it's, you know, sometimes we break that rule, again, if it's sort of relevant to the book. But that's, you know, what I notice about Facebook, and again, it's not my phone, but even it's more of like my interaction with social media is I do scroll through the feed sometimes too, but really most of it is stuff that I put out and then me sort of interacting with people who have interacted with stuff that I put out. So it's mostly music stuff or science fiction stuff or what have you that I'm just putting my thoughts out there. But if you go through the feed, particularly on Facebook, a lot of it is quite political, and a lot of it is, it gets kind of upsetting because it might be people that you were friends with or still friends with, but it's like, oh,
sure, but you're sitting there going on this rant. And a lot of it is presented in the context of, this is what I believe, this is what I think, this is what I feel, and if you don't agree with me, I'm going to stop following you, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, because you're part of the problem. You're an enemy. Mm-hmm. You're now my enemy. It's like, well, what happened to discourse? What happened to conversation? Right. Let's talk about it. But I don't even want to talk about it with anybody, because if you don't, and you can have two people that you absolutely love and adore, and they're wonderful people, and they have completely opposite beliefs on any particular subject. And if you try to talk to either one of them, the other one gets mad at you. I don't need this high school drama.
And especially, the one thing that I've learned in recent years is, it's when you get to be, I'm 40, and other friends that I have that are about the same age.
Yes, John, we know you're younger than me.
Are you 41 now, Patrick, or are you? Anyway, I have a friend that I've been friends with since elementary school, and he and I are very different, and I don't see him all that much. We don't live that far away from each other, but you know, we have families and everything, so we see each other once every couple of months, not too often. And I decided that when we get together, like, I'm just not gonna bring up certain things, or I'm not gonna bring up certain topics, or if it is brought up, I'm going to,
you end up editing yourself.
Yeah, because I realized, like, well, I'm not going to convince him to my way of thinking, and this is not going to end well. And it's so, I mean, it's kind of too bad, because you end up having kind of a little more of a surface relationship with people, because, like, you know, we'll still go to the movies or something, or we'll still go hang out or whatever, but it's not very often. And part of it is because it's just, like you said, it's not discourse. It's, he's right about this, and it's sort of like, and I think this is sort of what happens on Facebook. It's like, I'm right and you're stupid for not agreeing.
If you don't agree with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, and I just realized, like, I'm 40 and that's the way he's 42 as well. And like, he's not going to change the way he is, and I'm not going to change him. And there's no point in talking about it. So you have to kind of decide, do I want to still have a relationship with this person or not? And if you do, and I feel like you kind of have to be this way with certain members of your family too, do I want to have a relationship with them? And if I do, then we're just not going to talk about this. And if it comes up, I'm just going to shut my mouth and we'll power through. Again, you end up having sort of more light discussion, but it's like, it's either that or you have no relationship.
Right.
And there may be times, there may be people in my life that I will choose to not have any relationship with because it's not worth it. But I think that's sort of the sane way of going through life, is like, look, that's okay. Like, we don't agree, but like, that's okay. We're not going to talk about it. And I feel like Facebook exemplifies that pretty well.
It's come to the point where it's like Thanksgiving dinner every day, where the cousin on your right watches CNN and the cousin on your left watches Fox, and you're stuck between the two of them going, oh my God.
It's great if you know, so I go to the gym every day and I'm on the elliptical, and now I have my Kindle Paperwhite, which I talked about last time. So now I'm reading on this. I just put this up there and I do it and I read, which is great because it distracts me from the TVs that are up there. And it's really funny with the TVs because it is like Fox News here, CNN here. And it's like they're talking about the same thing, but it's like they're talking about it from the opposite point of
view. Exactly. They both have a political agenda at this point.
Yeah, so of course. But now that's I know, but that's where I'm sort of at. And like, I'm glad to be stepping back, because now I'm not at the point of having anything to put out into the world yet. And it probably will still be some time, but like, I've made more time for writing new music, and I'm really excited with the stuff that I'm working on. And it's probably not going to see the light of day for a long time, but whenever I have time, instead of checking Facebook or Twitter, even if it's 5 minutes, I sit and I work a little bit with whatever piece of music I'm working on. And I feel so much better at the end of the day, because I know whatever time I had, I put towards something that is, you know, constructive and not just time wasting. So it's been a good one.
And have you noticed that if you back off a little bit, suddenly you start getting these emails from Twitter that says, hey, today on Twitter, this happened. Where were you?
You know, maybe because I have buffer sort of auto posting stuff, maybe I'm just still seen as active according to their robots. So I don't actually get those because, you know, if you look at my Twitter feed, you would be like, he's damn active. What does he talk about? Well, because a lot of it is is the auto post, but then it's, and then I do respond to people who reply to me, but instead of doing it throughout the day, now I just do it in one little 10 or 15 minute slot. And it's a much better, for me, a much better way to go through life. But let's go to picks of the week, and then maybe we can not just complain about social media the whole
Okay.
So let's do picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And why don't you go first, Patrick?
All right. So I'm kind of doing a dual one here, because I mentioned that I've been watching Defiance and catching up on season two of that. And that's kind of cool. And there's another season two going on right now that I'm also kind of watching. So I want to mention both of them. First off, so Defiance. Mm-hmm. So Defiance is the only show on the channel formerly known as Sci-Fi that I am even aware of anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the only reason that it popped up on my DVR is because I had set it, you know, a year ago or more, mm-hmm. whenever, when Defiance was what first came on, I had set the DVR to record it and I had forgotten. And then I guess season two happened this summer, mm-hmm. and while I was off doing other things. And so it just happens to be on my DVR. I start watching it and I think season two is better than season one. It feels,
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
I watched season one and kind of liked it. It has flaws, but I liked season one. I have not watched season two yet. I didn't DVR it. And I think season one's on Amazon Prime. I'm hoping season two will get there too, because I would like to see it.
The dynamics between the characters have changed. The city has changed. The Earth Republic has come and are in charge. They have inserted their own mayor, so the previous mayor has had to go and do something else, but she's still around. It's an interesting show. Irisa has made a deal to save Nolan's life, mm-hmm. and now that deal is coming back to haunt her. So, you know, it's the whole crossroads demon thing. You make a deal and then, you know, you find out later that you really sold your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different feel to, mm-hmm. the show, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's still kind of monstery of the week. There's always, yeah. something going on, and they get to play a little bit with the science fiction tropes and have some aliens and different things. Mm-hmm. One of the episodes I just saw was they have all of these ships and fragments of ships and different things from the war that are in space above Earth, and, mm-hmm. and every once in a while something will fall. And when it falls, you know, scavengers go and try to gather materials, gather whatever it is. And in this case, the Earth Republic had been tracking this particular thing because there was something on there that they wanted. And it turns out that there is a war machine, essentially, on there, a living war machine. It's made of energy. And Nolan doesn't know it's there. He's sent out to scavenge it for the town. And this thing is there, and it just starts killing people immediately. And that was a pretty intense episode and kind of cool. So they're doing a lot of different things. So Defiance season two, I think, is worth your time. The other season two right now that is going is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And I am DVRing that, yeah.
This is dealing with the aftermath, which they kind of did a little bit at the end of season one. They dealt with, they tied it directly into Winter Soldier, Captain America Winter Soldier.
Right.
So everything that happened with Hydra, everything that happened in the movie with Nick Fury and everybody affected Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And now we're in season two and it's still affecting them. You know, they are essentially fugitives from our own government and from all governments. And Coulson is trying to keep the remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D. together and continue to protect people. And it was very cool because the season premiere included, and this kind of tripped me out a little bit, because I would think that this particular character would be part of Columbia's deal since they own Spider-Man. But they had the Absorbing Man on the first episode of season two. Absorbing Man is also, he's also known as Crusher Creel. He's been part of the Sinister Six. He's been part of a lot of different bad guy teams and who has fought against Spider-Man over the years. And that's where I came to know him from. Maybe he's just he's broad enough character and he's been in enough books that Marvel was able to use him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And his ability is that he can, anything he can touch, he can absorb and turn himself or his skin into that material. So mm-hmm. he touches metal, he can turn into metal. He touches crystal, he can turn into crystal. And in the comics, he's usually, oh, he was part of the Wrecking Crew. That was the team, the evil team in Spider-Man, the Wrecking Crew. Mm-hmm. So you had Crusher Creel, the Absorbing Man. You had Titania or Titana, his girlfriend. You had a dude with a crowbar, and there was like a, I think there was a couple others, and they crowbar were like the wrecking crew. And, and he always, Crusher Creel always had a, what do they call it? The wrecking ball on the chain, you know, that they'll swing and
like hit a mace.
Ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, not a mace, a big wrecking ball.
Oh, I forget what you call that.
That they swing and they hit the wall and it knocks the wall.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah, sure. You know,
so he would always have one of those on a chain that he would use, and he would absorb the chain or the ball, and he'd become really rock hard and be able to fight mm-hmm. Spider-Man. They actually had a moment in the show where there was a like not like a red rope thing. You know, I'm completely blanking on the words. It's a good thing I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there was this tiny little ball on the end of a chain, and he pulled it off of these poles and grabbed it and kind of swung it a couple times. And it was like an homage to, that's what he did in the comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat, and they played around with that quite a bit. Also, they're going to be bringing Mockingbird.
I saw that. Yeah,
and,
that's pretty
and
cool.
Mockingbird eventually joins the West Coast Avengers and does marry Clint Barton, who is Hawkeye.
Right. Yeah. And then that I know the actress that's playing her is Adrienne Pilecki, I believe.
Pilecki.
Yeah, she was she was going to be Wonder Woman, yes. But that didn't even launch.
David E. Kelly, who created Ally McBeal in The Practice, had a pilot filmed for Wonder Woman, his take on Wonder Woman, and she was Wonder Woman in it.
Right. But I liked her. She was in the G.I. Joe. She was Lady J in the G.I. Joe movie.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, I liked her in that, though. And she was in Red Dawn as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about
reboot.
That.
So there's a string of good work behind her coming into this.
But she was also Sam Winchester's girlfriend in the season one pilot episode of Supernatural.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So if you've ever seen the image of the woman on the ceiling with the flames coming out of her from Supernatural, mm-hmm. that was her.
Okay, cool. And I really liked, you know, because I'm not that well versed in the Avengers comics, but the character of Mockingbird had a cool role in the first Avengers cartoon that was out. Not the No, it's not Avengers Assemble. I think that's Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Mm-hmm. Mockingbird had, you know, a good story arc in that cartoon, which was very good. So I don't know if it's going to be anything like that in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got killed the first half of its first season, and then everyone seemed to like it a lot better in the second half. I liked it from the beginning, and I thought it did get better towards the end. Yeah. Especially after the Captain America tie-in and everything. So, I have there's three episodes out as of the day we're recording this. I guess it'll probably be more like seven or eight by the time this runs. But, I got them DVR'd, and I'm looking forward to watching them. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Well, and another nice little Easter egg was they again tied it back to the Captain America movie, the first one, the first mm-hmm. Avenger, by having Agent Carter.
Right.
And... the rough what are they called? Nick Fury's Rough Riders
Commandos?
Or Howling Commandos or something. Yeah. So Dum Dum Dugan and all those guys that were part of they kind of mushed them into Captain America. They had them on there as well. Did you know that they had a plan that they wanted to, as part of that, they wanted to have Wolverine. They wanted to have Logan in that group. Because in the comics, Logan did fight in World War II with Captain America. But of course, with the rights and everything, they weren't able to do that.
Yeah, well, that would have been cool. But that's cool. Yeah, I do. Like I said, I am DVRing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'll be watching that, and I hope to get. I hope Defiance will show up on some of the streaming services, because I did like that first season. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I liked it.
The first season's on Amazon Prime. So
yeah,
I assume that the second season will be too.
Amazon Prime's weird though, because with Netflix, Netflix will eventually get all the seasons. Amazon Prime doesn't quite work like that. A lot of it is they will have the first season up there, and then the later seasons aren't as quick to come because I think they want you to buy them. I think they want you to buy the seasons. So, you know, we'll see about that. But anyway, my pick, I'm not quite done with it yet. I'm almost done with it. I'm like 90% done with it, but I'm going to pick it anyway because I like it. And it it is Star Wars: A New Dawn, which is one of the new books that are out, and it is written by John Jackson Miller, and I'm hoping to get him on. We had John Jackson Miller on the show.
Isn't it the first book in the new continuity?
Yes, yeah. It's the first book. It is a prequel, I guess, to the Rebels show, which is currently airing.
I saw the last 10 minutes of that show.
I haven't watched it yet. I have that DVR'd as well. I have a lot on my DVR that I apparently just don't have that much time to watch TV, but I have that DVR'd and I'm looking forward to watching it. And this sets up a couple of the characters that are the main characters in that show. And I'm really digging it. It's really, I mean, I like John Jackson Miller a lot. I read one of his other Star Wars books. We had him on the show a couple of years ago too, and I'm hoping to get him on again for an upcoming episode, but I think he does a really good job. And I think what's most interesting about this, and we were talking about maybe, you know, talking about this as our main thing today anyway, but now, as I think many of our listeners know, and if they don't know, with Disney buying Star Wars, they basically made with the extended universe, they're like, none of that's canon.
Right.
But I think an addendum to that is that I have also read some articles where they have like a team of super nerds that are in like a room going through various materials and I guess deciding that some things are going to be canon and some are not. So I guess the super nerds are working that out. But from this point on, anything that's going to be put out, whether it's a cartoon or a book or a video game, is going to be canon and is going to tie into the new movies that are coming out. And from what I understand, just from sort of keeping myself aware of the news, is that the Rebels show, which is out now, is going to tie, there are going to be elements of that that are going to be tied into the J.J. Abrams movie. Now, how much, I'm not sure, but from what I can understand, there are going to be some references at least. And with this book, the John Jackson Miller book, which, as Patrick pointed out, is the first canon book, it's interesting because it does, I think it's supposed to take place maybe a few years before the cartoon. So that is like 10 years into the Empire. So this is really uncharted territory in terms of novels and things. So it is kind of interesting to see the Empire in that world, what it's sort of like at that time, and it's sort of the beginnings of the rebellion, which we all know in the original trilogy. And Miller's just a very good writer, and he does a really good job with this stuff. And I haven't watched the Rebel show yet, but now I want to finish the book first because it is a prequel, and I figure like, well, the shows will be waiting for me. But you know, just. And I don't know how much of this is pointed out in the Rebel show, but the main character is Kanan Juris, or Jarris, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but it basically makes sense. It's like he's one of the, you know, he's a youngling that escaped the Jedi Temple that did not get slaughtered by Anakin. And so he's been hiding from the time he's a young teenager till now, when he's supposed to be like in his 20s or something. And so he's like a Jedi hiding. And hiding his force skills, because if his force skills start showing, like, Vader's going to come hunt them down. And I think it's a really cool premise for the book, and I'm really digging it. I'm almost done with it, and I'm excited. I know a lot of fans are pissed about the decanonization of a lot of the material, and I feel that way too, to a certain extent, because I did read a lot of those books. But at the same time, going forward, well, I haven't read a Star Wars book in a long time. But I'm reading this one because I'm like, oh, this is cool, because this is going to be, I know this directly ties to the show that's going to be running directly. So I love that the books that are coming out are tied. And I know the next ones that's coming out is Tarkin, which James Luceno wrote. That's, I'm assuming, all about Tarkin. And our friend Paul S. Kemp is writing a Sith Lords book that I think is all Vader and Palpatine. And you mentioned Kevin Hearn, I think, on a recent podcast. And Kevin Hearn is writing Luke Skywalker book. I don't know what timeline that's supposed to take place in, but those are the four books that are either out or coming out. And I, for one, am excited about all of that. I don't know. How do you feel about all this, Patrick?
So we've kind of talked about this before. There's
Should I get James S.A. Corey on the line so he can yell at you about it?
There's a lot of interesting stuff here. So number one, let's talk about J.J. Abrams. So J.J. Abrams was approached by Paramount to reboot Star Trek.
Of course.
And he went to them with this comprehensive plan, but it wasn't just about movies. He went to them with a plan to do movies, TV shows, books, merchandising, everything. It was an all-encompassing thing to completely reboot and rebrand Star Trek. And he was not happy with the fact that he was unable to do that. So one of the things that he wanted everything that had anything to do with previous versions of Star Trek to stop. He wanted the books to stop. He wanted the merchandising to stop. He didn't want likenesses of William Shatner as Kirk and Leonard Nimoy as Spock and Nichelle Nichols as Uhura. He wanted all that stuff to go away. He wanted it to cease immediately so that when he launched his new version, that was the only stuff out there. And Paramount said, absolutely, let's do it. And what stopped him was CBS. Because CBS owns the merchandising rights. It's a complicated relationship between CBS and Paramount. People like to think that Gene Roddenberry, but as we know, writers create things, and then through licensing agreements and contracts and different things, the writer has very little actual control over the things that they create. So you had Gene Roddenberry and his family didn't really control anything. They were just, you know, the creators of it. CBS owned a lot of the merchandising rights. They owned the rights to all the likenesses to the original crew. It's a very profitable thing for them to have. They make a lot of money off of that. And they said, absolutely not. We're not giving up that money. So J.J. Abrams was stymied in his attempt to do everything that he wanted to do with Star Trek. So we have J.J. Trek. I have gone out and said this before, and I'll say it again. It was a very clever reboot. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't starting over necessarily. It was using a Star Trek trope, time travel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And so through time travel, the entire timeline has been shattered and redone, and everything is new again. So I give him props for that. That's very clever. A lot of Star Trek fans are extremely pissed about it. They don't like it. Sure. They're very angry about it, you know, and that's what's going to happen. You can't please everybody. But I get it on an intellectual level. I understand what he did. Mm-hmm. And how he is explaining that this is all new. So it's time travel, you know, someone from the future comes back to the past. Everything that you knew before is done. It's not going to happen that way anymore. It's back to the future, right? Yeah. You know, oh, someone went back to the past, Marty, and they changed everything. So I get that. Now, then they approach him, whoever approaches him, Disney, Lucas, whatever, and say, hey, we want to do new Star Wars movies, right? Disney. Lucas had said years ago when the Thrawn series came out, I'm never going to do anything after Jedi.
Yeah.
Have at it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him saying that it was canon, but he did basically say, I'm never going to do anything after Jedi. So that's where you can play, but I am going to do stuff before Jedi. So, you know, before New Hope. So that's where I'm going to be doing stuff. So you can't do anything there. And that kind of changed a little bit. They were able to do some deals and get, you know, Tales of the Old Republic and that kind of stuff.
That goes way back.
But for the most part, from the prequels to Jedi, there hasn't been a lot of stuff there. Other than Clone Wars, which was an excellent show. From what I understand now, Clone Wars doesn't exist. It's not part of the canon. It's been blown away with everything else. Because one of the first things Disney did when they bought it was they canceled that show. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I understand from a professional business kind of standpoint what Disney is doing. They're bringing everything in-house. I can't wait for the new Wolverine Wookiee Christmas special that they can do now because they own both Marvel and Star Wars. Mm. But essentially what I think happened was when they approached J.J. Abrams, he hit them with the same kind of deal and said, well, I will do it, but this is what I want. Mm. I want you to stop everything and let's do a comprehensive this. And I think that's what he did. I have no proof of that, but that's where I think this all comes from. Mm. I, as a fan, feel insulted. That's my problem. I feel like I was misled.
How so?
Well, John, who shot first, Han or Greedo?
Han.
Are you sure? Because in the movie, it's been changed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tie this to Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Now, okay? And to the Big Bang Theory. There was an episode of the Big Bang Theory where Sheldon was upset, and I know that a lot of folks in our community don't like the Big Bang Theory. I like it. It reminds me of where I grew up. When I grew up, there were no women in the comic book store, and that was sad. And I'm glad that now when I go to a comic book store, there are women and young girls there, and they're reading and they're getting into it. But when I was a young man and I was going to a comic book store, it was all boys. There was no girls in there. It was sad. But anyway, I like the Big Bang Theory. So there was an episode where Leonard has a new girlfriend and everybody is going over to Raj's house because it's Raj's sister and they're all going over there. Sheldon is very upset because everybody comes to my house. You know, they come here. We don't go there. And so he invites a bunch of people over to try to teach his friends a lesson and say, hey, I have other friends. I can be the social circle. And he invites all these other people over. And eventually he gets frustrated with them and he goes over to Raj's house and Leonard says, well, what happened? He says, well, they were having fun wrong. I feel like Stephen Moffat, who is the showrunner of Doctor Who, has been telling all the fans since he took over, well, look, you're enjoying Doctor Who wrong. You're not getting it right. You're counting the number of doctors. You shouldn't be doing that. Don't count the number of regenerations. Don't worry about it. I'm in charge of that now. I'm going to teach you how to have fun with Doctor Who and how you should be enjoying Doctor Who because you've been doing it wrong for years. Now we come to Star Wars, and George Lucas says, well, I know that you enjoyed those first three movies, but you're enjoying them wrong because they weren't actually the vision that I wanted to give you. So I'm going to come out with special edition versions where I'm going to change it so that you can now enjoy it properly, enjoy it correctly, because you, the fan, don't know what you're doing. You're not enjoying it correctly. So I'm going to correct it and show you the true and proper way to enjoy Star Wars. So now we have Greedo shooting first. Then you come to this new thing and it's like, well, again, you know, J.J. Abrams is now deciding that this is the way you should be enjoying Star Trek. And now he's got his hands in Star Wars. He's like, well, this is the way you should be enjoying Star Wars. And all the stuff that you enjoy that you thought was really good, because I wasn't involved with that. I'm getting rid of all of that. We're going to start over. And now I'm going to teach you how to enjoy Star Wars.
Yeah. I got it. But you know, I'm still kind of, you know, I'm into it. Like I'm, you know, I would. Yeah, I finished watching the Clone Wars a couple weeks ago, and you know, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so I won't. But the way that season five ends, I thought the last few episodes of season five, maybe of the Clone Wars, maybe the best Star Wars stories. You know, I think it ranks amongst the best. And I think it really does a lot to flesh out characters but you are kind of left hanging at the end of that season and it is not resolved in season six. And so there's all sorts of speculation and like, is any of the events that happened here going to be mentioned in any of the upcoming books? Is it going to be mentioned in the Rebels show? Is it going to be mentioned in the movies? And I don't know. I kind of would say it's probably not, although I would hope it would be. But to me, I do think it's a good idea in terms of everything going forward being canon is that I think you're going to see less, but it's going to have more impact because I think you had so much Star Wars stuff just in terms of books and everything that I, even as a big fan, I didn't keep up with it. I kind of stopped with the Kevin J. Anderson books, which is like 20 years ago now. And like I read a Star Wars book here and there. Zahn put out a couple more later that I read, and I read a couple of other ones here and there. But, you know, in that continuity, you know, I know it got to the point where it's like, you know, Mara Jade and Luke got married and had a kid, and that kid was Ben Skywalker, who was sort of the good Jedi, and Han and Leia had kids, and one of their kids fell to the dark side, and like, you know, it's cool. It sounds cool, but I didn't keep up with it because it was kind of too much.
But to throw it out there, back to what you said about the super nerds, they also had, there was people who were specifically involved with the continuity, and they made sure that all these things worked together. And I'm not just talking about the novels. I mean, they also tied it to the Dark Horse comics. And of course, the Dark Horse comics are dead now because Disney owns Marvel, Disney owns Lucas. They're going to put the two together, and Marvel is going to produce comics again. For me, you talk about the wasteland between movies and times when there was nothing Star Wars out there, and we were kind of, as Star Wars fans, wanting more Star Wars. There was a point where Marvel was in charge of Star Wars, and they had the licensing.
Sure.
But you got a very Marvel-ish storytelling process. You know, I always felt like the Marvel Star Wars was not necessarily in depth. And I know I've said this before, and people have said, "Oh my God, you're not remembering the this and the this and then this." And then there was this. I know. I've read the comics. Trust me, I remember them. I know that there was some good points, but there was also some pretty cheesy stuff in those Marvel comics. And it wasn't until Dark Horse took over and we had the Dark Empire and they just kind of took it from there that we started getting these really good, gritty stories, and they were able to delve into the Old Republic and do a lot of really cool storytelling in the Star Wars universe. And you talk about not picking up a lot of novels. Well, I did pick up a lot of those comics and those graphic novels and read through them and was just captivated by them because it was good storytelling. And now all of that, it just feels, I don't know, it feels weird. And I know what James S.A. Corey was saying, and I know that people are saying, "Well, you're taking this too seriously," and I don't know. It just feels like a slap to the fans. It feels insulting. It's like I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it, but it's like the reason why I still call it the channel formerly known as Sci-Fi. You know, it's like, I'm going to build this on your backs and on the money that you give me. And then eventually I'm going to say, screw you guys. I'm going home and I'm starting over. You know, that's kind of where I'm coming from on this. It's well, really appreciate you keeping us, you know, going through the dark lean times when there was nothing out there. But hey, now the house that Mickey built is in charge, and we're going to just explode this, and we're going to do a bunch of stuff, and we need to appeal to much, much broader audiences than you freaking nerds. So we're going to be doing a lot of other stuff. You know, and that's kind of where I feel. And again, it could be my jaded, cynical, political brain doing all this. I don't know.
I think it's nice that we have different opinions about this. Now let's just put a bow on it. So sort of like the political stuff we were talking about in the beginning. You notice how Patrick and I weren't shouting at each other?
No.
I have one, you know, way of looking at it. He has another. I'm mostly enthusiastic about the way forward. He is not. And we had a nice discussion about it.
Well, and John, I'll tie it back to comics again because, okay, for years now, DC has been putting out wonderful animated stuff. Okay. They started with Batman the Animated Series, which then evolved into, you know, like the Batman family or whatever, because they had Batgirl and Robin and Nightwing and different ones. And then they came out with Superman, right? The animated show. And it was in the same universe as the Batman show because they had crossover. So it was the same, you know, they were tied together. And then they took it to Justice League. And that was tied to the same two universes because, they did some of the same stuff. They had some of the same character actors come in. And it was this nice continuity that went all the way through. And at the same time, though, they were doing these animated features that were not tied to those universes. Mm-hmm. But was tied to the DC universe and was a lot of the classic stories that we have read as graphic novels. And I really enjoyed those right up until the point where they started getting into more modern New 52 Son of Batman kind of crap. And now I'm just sitting there going, I feel like the storytelling in the New 52 and some of the stuff they're doing is very thin. Mm-hmm. And I'm not enjoying those animated features as much as I did the ones that they pulled from in the past. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm also worried that that's going to happen with JJ.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you look at the two Star Trek movies, the storytelling is much, much thinner in those movies. It's more mm-hmm. action-oriented. And don't get me wrong, the first time that Darth Maul and Qui-Gon had a lightsaber duel in the deserts on Tatooine, I jumped out of my seat at the movie theater. That was the first Jedi battle I'd seen in a long time. And it was like, woo, yeah, all right. I like those. But I'm also worried that moving forward, the storytelling is going to be thinner because it's going to be, again, it's going to be a Disney factory kind of thing.
Right. Well, I will say, in kind of wrapping it up, JJ's only really tied to this. Well, I guess he's going to be producing some of the other ones, but they already have different directors for 8 and 9. I know it's the guy from Looper and...
But it doesn't matter if there's an overarching idea. And that's what I think there is.
I think so too.
I think he took what he wanted to do with Star Trek and he is applying it to Star Wars. And that's why we're getting the quote unquote complete and total reboot.
Well, and I think where it may work to take the positive side is I think, JJ has, I remember sort of reading things about this even pre Star Trek. I think he was never a Star Trek guy. I think he always considered him a Star Wars guy. So Star Wars was not offered to him. Star Trek was. So I think he tried to Star Warsify Star Trek to a certain extent. So to be positive about it, I will say what he does will, in my opinion, will probably work better for Star Wars than it has for Star Trek. So I guess we'll just see.
Well, and I can tell you, I already know the plot of the next Star Wars movie. And it's about a young woman who finds a ancient device that has a bunch of symbols on it. And she's going to have like a small group of people who are also interested in this device and all the symbols on it. And it's going to be all about trying to figure out, who this ancient Jedi master Rimbaldi is who created this device and a bunch of other devices that when you put them all together, make a doomsday weapon.
Well, and you know what? I think that's right. But I think the other facet that you forgot is that she's going to have long, luxurious, curly hair and is going to go to college. But by the third season, she's going to like cut her hair and then no one's going to want to watch it.
They don't have college in the Star Wars universe. It's going to be some sort of space university.
Right. Didn't he do Felicity too, JJ?
I think he did. But if you look at Fringe and you look at Alias, there's a lot of similarities in some of the stuff that they do. I'm expecting that to bleed over into the Star Wars universe. So
certainly could. All right. Well, I think that's a lot of good Star Wars discussion for 1 week. Patrick, what do you want to tell people about before we wrap it up here?
Usual stuff. I've got new reviews up over at Kirkus. So if you go to Kirkus Reviews on the Kirkus Reviews blog, I'm a featured author there. So is our guest from like 2 weeks ago, John DiNardo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he writes some stuff over there. So I've always got something going on, usually about graphic novels. I recently had some stuff on Constantine. I've got a Brent Weeks graphic novel up. They did the same press that did an adaptation of Gail Carriger's books did an adaptation of Brent Weeks' is The Way of Shadows. Mm-hmm. So I've got that up over there. And you know, usual stuff. I'm not blogging as much anymore because I only want to blog when I have something cool to say. But you should always check out atfmb.com. That's all things from my brain. And of course, my Twitter feed is atfmb, and my Facebook is atfmb, and I do occasionally post up there. So that's like the best ways to figure out what's going on with my life and what I had for lunch.
Very good. I'm not doing a whole. I'm working on music, but I don't think it's going to be coming out. And I've been thinking, you know, with your point about blogging, like. I'm thinking about blogging a lot. I have some ideas, but I decided like, well, what if I do want to get back into blogging, kind of like what you said, I only want to blog if I have things to say. And I decided like, I want to get like five, if I do start blogging again, I want to get like 5 to 10 posts written before I start publishing anything, because I almost want to like start a new blog or something, like, you know, not my old one, because I don't know if it would even be related to the topic of my old one. So, you know, it's one of those things like if I can write 10, then maybe I have something to say about this. But if I can't write 10, then I don't want to like just start a new thing, put 2 posts out and then it's dead already, you know, so I'd want to get a lot done. But I don't know if that's going to see the light of day.
And John, I did want to point out to people, if you are a Netflix subscriber, you can now see Good Eats on Netflix. Alton
is
Brown.
That a food channel show? Oh, that's right, because you picked that. I noticed there's all these like food channel shows.
Alton Brown, though. It's Good Eats.
Yeah, because I don't think they ever had the food channel stuff.
No, it's awesome.
They made a deal with somebody because it's like all these food channel. I was like the new releases, and it was like all these food channel shows and all of these, not History Channel, but something. Like one of the, whoever owns like 2 or 3 channels, those like deeper cable channels signed a deal with Netflix because like a bunch of like reality shows up there now.
What I love is there's a great episode of Good Eats that's about sweet tea. Oh. And he actually explains what those of us who like sweet tea have been trying to tell people for years. If you make a pitcher of iced tea and place it on the table and it's unsweet and you tell the people who want sugar, you can just add sugar to it. Mm-hmm. He explains why it doesn't work.
Right. All right. Well, I'll try to watch that episode so you and I can know each other.
Smart.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's cool. Well, very good. Yeah. So that's it for this week, everybody. Yeah, you can check out. I'm on Twitter at John Anilio. I'm not going crazy. I swear to God. I'm just sharing other thoughts. That's all. all right, everyone. We'll see you next time.
May the force be with you.
Do. That's all I can do. 30 seconds.
Say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.